This is an anointed bunch of folks. And I thank you. They're playing both services today. Man, I'm getting emails and Facebooks, whatever you call that thing, text. A lot of you guys are enjoying that book. I am so tickled. I hope we have a room full of lion chasers before this thing's over. If someone were to ask you, if you want to take out your outlines and stuff, but if someone were to ask you, what is the single most important thing to do with your life, would you know the answer? What's the answer? Anybody know? Love God. That's it. The single most. See, we're put on this earth to be loved by God and then to learn how to love Him back. That's why we're here, to get ready for eternity. Now, if I were to ask you, what's the second most important thing that you are supposed to do here on earth? Do you know? Do you know? What's the second most important thing? Why? Love your neighbor. That's right, Rob. Love your neighbor. Jesus recorded this in several different places, Matthew and Luke. But from what I really believe and what Paul summarized it is, the Bible could be summarized this way. Love God, love others as yourself. The Bible could be summarized two sentences. Love God, love others as yourself. Life is all about love. Not accomplishments, not achievements, not being famous, not about acquisitions. It's about love. That's one of the greatest commandments. Says, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's so important. We're going to be talking about this the whole month of July. We're going to focus on this second commandment, love neighbor as myself. How to be a good lover. This command itself is mentioned 10 times in the Bible. And I believe if God says it 10 times, He really wants us to get this. And as your pastor, I want you and I want me to have this reputation around our neighborhood as being the most loving person at the school. You know, at the neighborhood, or the most loving person at work. You know, if someone were to ask, who is the most loving person that you know? I want that to be you. As your pastor, I want you to be the answer to that. And so, in doing this and learning from this, we're going to look at the most famous story in the Bible. So, I mean, hundreds of hospitals are named after it. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And we can learn how to love through this story. It teaches us how to love our neighbor as ourselves. So open your Bible, if you want to Luke chapter 10 while I get a drink of water. And if you don't, I have it in your outline anyway, so don't worry about it. Only thing you have to worry about is my misspelling. All right, Luke 25:29. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him a question. Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's right, said Jesus. Do this and you'll live. But the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? Jesus answered by telling a story. As yourself. Now, I want you to think about those two words, as yourself. This is the most radical part of it. But this is also saying love somebody as yourself is not just being nice to people. You know what I'm saying? It's not about just being nice. And it's, then he says, who's my neighbor? And I was wondering, why did this guy ask, who's my neighbor? Well, you know why he asked that? Because he's looking for a loophole. He don't want to love everybody unnecessarily. You know, he doesn't want to love someone that he don't like. I'm a little like that sometimes. I have to admit that it's hard for me to love somebody that I don't like. And so, well, Jim, who are you talking about? You're talking about somebody next door, that neighbor? Are we talking about some of our electronic neighbors on Facebook? Or are we talking about people in Belize or people in New Mexico? All of that. Jesus tells a story in this story about a priest, a Levite. They're two are religious leaders. And now Levite, I want to tell you, a Levite's not a blue jean salesman, nothing like that. He is a religious leader. And that's our neighbors. This is the people in the story. Oh, and the Samaritan. These are three guys walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. And then they come upon this guy who was doing the same walk, and he gets beat up. He gets mugged. He gets beat up, and he's laying there in the brush just buck naked. Just naked, beat up, bruised up. And so they walk by, and they see this crime scene of this guy laying there, and each one of them have a different response. And it tells us in this that there's three possible attitudes that you and I can have to our neighbor. Three possible attitudes toward our neighbors. And I want to tell you something. Before you put yourself as the Levite or the priest or the Samaritan, this is talking about attitudes. You can have all three in the same day. All three in the same day. So this does not represent a person. It represents an attitude. You can't say, well, I'm the priest, or I'm the Levite, or I'm even the Samaritan. You're none of them all the time. These are three attitudes that you can have throughout the day. A guy reminded me between services, you can have more than once, too. He said, you can have more than once, especially with people in your life, their coworkers or their fellow students and all that stuff. But three attitudes toward my neighbors, toward folks that I work with, folks that I go to school with, or folks that I encounter on the road. The very first attitude is, well, I guess I can keep my distance. I can keep my distance. This is the attitude of the priest, the very first one that we talked about with the attitude of avoidance. He says in verse 30 and 31, says, there was a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked on by the other side. Now, they're coming down this mountain. It's curvy. You know how a mountain road does this right here? It's just an easy place for thieves. It's just not a safe place to travel. And so this first guy is a priest. His lifestyle is one of avoidance. He sees the guy, and he walks on by. He keeps his distance. You know, I sit there thinking about that. I said, well, why don't we get close to people? Why do we keep our distance? And the only answer I could keep up with is, or that I could come up with is, the reason why we don't get close to people sometimes and the reason why we keep our distance is we're afraid they may need us. We're afraid they may ask us for help. And so we keep all our relationships superficial so we don't have to get involved. We don't let our neighbors and coworkers and fellow students in real close. We keep them at a distance so that we ain't bothered by them. And it's a common lifestyle around here. Bartow, Gordon, Rome, wherever you're from, it's a common lifestyle. You know what it's called? An electric garage door opener. You drive in, you close them. You can go for weeks months, years, and never really see your neighbor. Oh, you might see him while you're cutting the grass, but that's about it. You come home from work, drive into the garage door, close up the tomb, and go in and never know him. Well, the second attitude is that about toward my neighbors is I can be curious but uninvolved. These first two guys are religious. This priest and this Levite, they're religious, but they're mighty unloving. I want to tell you something. Religion does not make you loving. Amen. You can go to church every Sunday. You can go to church every day, for that matter, all your life, and never love your neighbor as yourself. Never love them as yourself. These guys dress themselves in clothes of self-righteousness, and they did nothing wrong. Verse 32 says, in the same way, a Levite also came there, went over and looked at the man, went over and looked at the man, but then walked on by the other side. They did nothing. You and I do that too when we see people in pain. We walk on, we check it out, we rubberneck, and we drive on. This may be the worst attitude. He just keeps going. We love to stare at accidents and never stop. We love to stare and not stop. I thought, how many times have I did that? I can't throw rocks. I stopped at an accident the other day. Happened right in front of me. I didn't know what to think. Lady just run in the ditch. She's over on her side. And I was in my attitude of being a good Samaritan. And so I stopped. And I went over. Richard and Jill, they stopped and helped. I was at the post office the next day or two. And this guy comes in and said, did you have a little trouble the other day? I said, no. He said, well, I saw you standing on the side of the road and the car was flipped over. I thought, why didn't you stop, Levi? Then I thought, I've been a Levite before too. I've been a priest, you know. Just happened to catch me on a good day. We go to church every Sunday and never love our neighbors ourselves. We love to stare and not stop. We love to look at other people's pain and gossip about it. We love to tell others about other people's pain. We love to read about it. That's why these magazines and stuff are out. Star, Inquirer, People, all that stuff. We love to read about it, but we don't want to get involved. Guess what? It makes us no better than the Levite. So don't be throwing rocks at the Levite. He walks on by. He stares and he don't stop. Third attitude that we could have was the one I actually had that day. Not trying to lift myself up that day, because I was probably a Levite several times. And I'm a priest a lot. I blame it on my ADD, but I'm a priest a lot. The third attitude is I can treat them how I want to be treated. I'm talking about the people you work with. I'm talking about the people you go to school with. I can treat them how I want to be treated. I'm talking about the people that I'm in the marketplace with. I'm talking about the postal clerk that you see at the post office. Treat him how you want to be treated. Especially the guy with the goatee. You can treat the waitress how you would like to be treated. Verse 33 says, but a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man. And when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. One of the greatest things I love about Jesus is the way he turns the table on people. Jesus did something here that I love. He picked the most despised type of person to be a hero in this story. Do y'all know what a Samaritan is? It's a mixed race. It's a mixed race. They were Jewish, but not full-blooded. They were despised and hated by the Jewish people. They were racially prejudiced against the Samaritans. But Jesus here is radical. I'm telling you, the more I find out about Jesus, the more I know about him, he just wasn't no punk. I mean, he got in your face. And he chose this person who was hated as a hero. Matthew 7:12 says, always treat others as you would like them to treat you. That's the golden rule. I want you, North Point, to be the most loving people in the communities. Loving, loving people. Well, how do I start doing that? Well, there's four ways that we learn how do I, you know, to be the most loving people in our neighborhoods and in our workplaces. How do we do that? Well, there's four ways that we learn from here. We're just going to talk about two of them this week. Probably talk about a couple of them next week. I may review a little bit. But I just wanted to talk about two. But four things the Samaritan did right. The very first one is I must see their needs. The very first thing that we need to do about how do I start loving my neighbors is we must see our needs. It begins with our eyes. I have to see what they need in life. It's just the principle of sensitivity. You know, love is sensitive. Love begins with looking. You can't meet a need until you see a need, or unless you see a need. You know, and if you don't see a need, you can't meet a need. Is that, y'all understand that? You know, you can't, there's an old saying, you can't care until you're aware. So you have to be aware of it. It begins with the eyes. The last part of verse 33 says, when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. Folks, there are wounded people right around you. They're hurting people right on your roll. Right on the row you sit on are people hurting physically, emotionally, relationally, financially. They're hurting right there. But we got to be able to see them to meet their need. Hurting for many, many reasons. You know, it might be hurting by their parents, grief. You know, you don't see it. It's not that you're not sensitive. You know, why don't we see it then, Jim? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not because you don't care. It's not because you're cold-hearted. The reason you don't see it is one word. Busyness. Busyness. You and I were too busy. We're running late, and I don't have time for you. This morning I was running late. Can't blame it on Angie no more. I was running late. I had to get gas. I was out of gas, and I was running late getting here. I like to be here at 8:00, and it was getting 9:09. I wasn't here yet. You know, I'm the leader. So I was panicking. I had to go back. I forgot stuff twice at the house. You know, I didn't know if I cut off everything, you know, plugged up the iron, plugged, and wasn't nobody there to check. Y'all do that? I'm just goofy. But I went back 100 times. I was running late, and I was pumping my gas, and I saw a guy that knew me. And, you know, ashamedly, I have to say, I tried not to lock eyes with him. You know, I'm just being honest. Then I looked and told Luke, I said, oh no, he won't talk. I said, here he comes. Here he comes. I'm running late, man. Here he comes, here he comes, here he comes. He said, what you doing? I said, I'm running late. What a terrible example, I said to my son. I even told him. I was so busy, I didn't have time for people. I didn't have time for my neighbor. I was running so late, I was busy. And then I told him like it was okay. I'm his biggest influence. What an idiot I was. What a Levi. And here I was coming to preach to y'all about it. The busier you get, the less loving you're going to be. Busyness kills love. If we're in a hurry, we can't see it. We can't see the need, you know. The only way I can equate it, just being in a hurry, is if I wanted my family to see America. You know, we could fly. We'd get there faster. 350 mile an hour. We wouldn't see nothing. You know, we could take a train. See a little more, but just, oh, oh. But if we really wanted to see it, we could drive. You see a lot more. You're down here with them and everything. But if we really wanted to see it, we could all four get on bicycles. Go across America. Ring an Angie like that. Be good. The slower I go, the more I see. The faster I go, the less I see of the needs around me. To be sensitive, Jesus says you got to slow down. You got to slow down. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, look out for the good of others. So do you ever look out for the good of others? You know, some people are just naturally tuned in to the needs of others. You know what they're called? Women. Women. You know, naturally, some of us are just by nature sensitive. And some are, that was kind of a gender specific statement. What? It was Trudeau. That's right. Yes. So I really don't care if you're offended by it. but so guys, we have to work at it. We have to work at it. I have to pray from time to time, Lord, help me to see the people that need help. Help me to see them. That's my spiritual ADD. I don't see them. We have to learn to see, to look. You know, I wouldn't intentionally walk past someone who's hurt. A lady got on me one time and said, you walked right by me and I was crying. You didn't even stop and say nothing to me. You didn't stop and have prayer with me. You didn't do nothing. I'm looking for a Kleenex. I'm about to have a mess. But anyway, I'll try to get through before I do it. Hey, Kyle, is there one in that box right there? Oh, you don't want to come up here? Thank you, sir. That's all right. You can be a Levite all you want to, brother. Thank you, Samaritan. Thank you. I'm just kidding, Kyle. I'm just kidding. I thought I'd throw that in there just because, you know, I like to mess with people. But she told me, she said, you walked right past me. I was crying. You didn't say nothing. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't intentionally hurt anybody. I mean, I really wouldn't. I said, I just didn't see you. I just didn't see you. I wasn't looking. That's my fault. But I didn't mean to hurt you. But we can't see the needs if we're so busy. See, because love is looking. Love's looking. Love's looking to see the needs. So how sensitive are you to your neighbors? Your coworkers, your fellow students, are you tuned in? I wanted to ask you, can you write down the name of an unbeliever that you come in contact with every week on a weekly basis? Well, and of that person, could you tell me what his or her biggest struggles is? Well, if you can't, then you don't love your neighbor as you love yourself, because I guarantee you, you know your struggles and you don't know theirs. Galatians 6:7 says, the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. When you die, is all you're going to show for your life is a pile of weeds? Well, it depends on how sensitive you are to the people around you, how sensitive you are to the needs around you. I want to tell you something. I've told you 100 times. God did not put you on this earth for yourself. It's not why you're here. If you don't see the needs, you'll live a life of weeds. Number two. Second thing this guy did right is, I must sympathize with their pain. I must sympathize with their pain. I must be sensitive to their needs. I must sympathize with their pain. And you know where sympathy starts? You know where it starts? With the heart. Because it's not just enough to see their needs, then our emotions have to kick in. We have to see them, and then we have to, our emotions kick in, we have to feel their needs. The last part of that 33, it says, when he saw him, his heart was filled with compassion. Sympathy begins where? It also begins at the heart, but it begins with the ears. It begins with the ears. How do you become more sympathetic to your wives? How do you become more sympathetic to your children? How do you become more sympathetic to your coworkers and students? One word, listen. Listen. The more I listen, the more sympathetic I become. The more I talk, the less sympathetic I'll be. Guys, I'm learning this. I'm learning this. I'm not good at this. Some of you might say, I listen to my wife all the time. Whatever. Some of you might, but I doubt it. Do you remember your first date? I said on the 9 o'clock service this morning. Y'all remember your first date? Me and Angie went to a little old Mexican place in Marietta. I listened to every single word she spoke. I didn't look around. I was in the zone. In a first date listening zone. I just, me and her. I don't even think I ate much. After the date was over, I was exhausted. She ain't here. Y'all know what I'm saying? But it was a good exhausted. It was good for her. I listened. I faked that for about a year. Ten years later, you know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all said, I'm going to tell her when she gets back. Now I'm just talking about anybody in general. I ain't talking about Angie. So just so we'll know that, Angie, I wasn't talking about just you, Angie. She listened to the CD. 10 years later, you're sitting at the biscuit house, you and your bride. Now all you hear is, wah, 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 wah. You know why? You ain't listening. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Y'all heard wah, wah, wah this morning. Hearing is passive. Listening is active. So my prayer for you and prayer for me is to help me be a first date listener to everyone in our life. Everyone. Everyone. The postal clerk. The person you meet on the street, your next door neighbor. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, aside from food and water and shelter, we have two fundamental needs in our life. You and I have two fundamental needs that can only be fulfilled by listening. We need to feel understood. And number two, we need to feel validated. And they can only be done by listening. By listening. You love your neighbor by listening. You don't have to fix it. I'll give you an example. I'm not going to name names, but I was hurting one day. Well, for about a week. I get kind of down a good bit in February, you know, for my daughter's birthday, and she passed away, and I get down. And friend knew I was hurting. He sat down beside me and he knew I was hurting him. It wasn't but just a few seconds. He started giving me advice. And I figured out the only reason he was giving me advice, he wanted to tell me how smart he was. And the conversation soon turned to him. And I couldn't wait to see him get up and leave. Then I had a friend come to my house. He knew I was hurting. He didn't say anything. He just kind of nodded. I didn't want him to go. He was listening. We love by listening. Galatians 6:2. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Every time you share, every time you see, you obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. I want us to learn this, and we're going to close with it. We're closing. We're about to go home. Matthew 22:39 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:39. Say that with me. Matthew 22:39. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:39. Now everybody say it with me. Matthew 22:39. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:39. So what does Matthew 22:39 say? Where do you find the scripture? Love your neighbor as yourself. You already got it. We're gonna be talking about love a lot. Incidentally, I think it's needed. Worked out. Our kids started this month. Their virtue is love. Me and Chris didn't plan that. It just kind of happened. I love you. Let's stand and sing. That's all I got to say. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. I thank you for giving us an example to love. Lord, I pray that we open up the garage doors and that we not fear being involved. That we treat people the way we want to be treated. And that when we leave here, Lord, that as we become a church outside the building, that we see. When we leave this building, the church has left the building, that we see and we look for the needs. And then, Lord, that we listen. I pray that our relationships become first date stuff. Every one of them. That we learn to listen. That we be good friends. That we don't bring the conversation around to ourselves. We listen. We be that good Samaritan. That we try to keep that attitude most of the time. Lord, we love you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.